Our sermon reading for this morning is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31. And there we read, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This is God's word. The astounding mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the strength of God the Father, the guidance of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. In our sermon reading for this morning, John says, "These things are written." While there are all kinds of things written in God's Word, there are laws and there's promises, there's history. We heard about a parable reading today. There's poems, warnings, and Bible stories. Of all these things that are written, we're going to zero in this morning on the concept of Bible stories. Now, by Bible stories, I mean something that actually happened to real people. You know these Bible stories. You've learned them in Sunday school, Christian day school. Your pastor has taught them and studied them in Bible class. So these Bible stories have worked in our hearts and in our lives, probably without us even knowing about it. But the challenge this morning is, have you ever used a Bible story to help somebody? And that's what I'm going to try to help you see and encourage you to do. Our whole service is set up on the seeds of God's Word. And Bible stories are also a way that we can plant the seeds of God's understanding God's concept of sin and his wonderful forgiveness. So Bible stories are for healing. That's our sermon theme for this morning. I work as a pastor chaplain in hospitals and prisons, and very often as I am going around, I maybe have some Bible verses on a card or something, but sometimes walking into a room with a Bible is so intimidating when people who are not any don't have any religion. So I don't often walk into a room with a Bible. But I have these Bible stories that I've learned from the time I was very small. And you also have them too. So I'm going to give you some examples and challenge you to even come up with a Bible story of your own in one case. First of all, I'd like to tell you about the story of Julie. I worked for 10 years as a pediatric chaplain, so I have a lot of kids' stories to tell. And while I was a pediatric chaplain, Julie, a 16-year-old girl, came into the hospital with severe pain, all kinds of pains. Her parents had divorced and she had gone wild. She kind of threw God away and went out and lived a very wild life, and now was in the hospital with all kinds of multiple sexual sin or diseases. Her mother's outside the room crying as the doctors are talking to her, and she says, "Chaplain, can you talk to my 16-year-old daughter and help her?" And I thought, oh boy, what could I say as an elderly man to help a young teenage girl? But I said I would. So the next day, I visited with her, sat down, and I asked Julie how she was feeling, thinking she would tell me about her pain level, but she says, "Guilty." And at that moment, I thought of a Bible story. Hadn't thought of it before. I said, "You know, I know about another young lady. She lived a very bad life, committing sexual sins. And when she realized how wrong she had been, she started crying. And her tears washed the feet of the man before she was crying. And then she dried his feet with her hair. That man was Jesus. And Jesus looks directly into her heart and says, 'I forgive you your sins. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'" I didn't have to tell Julie how that story applied to her life. She just took it right in and applied it to her life. And her once lost faith started to refresh itself. And finally asked her if we could pray, and we did pray. And at the end of the prayer, her mother walks in and sees us praying, and mother and daughter started crying, and mother and daughter started to get together again, and they also reconnected with their Lord. That simple Bible story helped that whole healing concept take place. I just told the story about sin and Jesus' forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is the one that took those seeds and brought healing into that little family unit. Bible stories are for healing. The challenge is, have you used Bible story to bring healing and comfort and strength to someone? Maybe it'll be out in the park or in the mall or at school or someplace where you're on vacation and you don't have a Bible, but you see this hurting person who needs comfort and strength. There's a good place for us to use a Bible story. Or even maybe a small child who is kind of crying. We can think of a Bible story maybe to help them feel strength and comfort. Okay, now the next case is something I'm going to ask you to consider. Which Bible story might you come up with to help this lady? I was a panicky mother. I was walking down the hallway, and this woman comes running up to me, grabs me by the tie and says, Chaplain, help me. My son is going blind. It's my fault. God is punishing me. Now, this was a lady who went to one of our churches. Her child went to one of our Christian day schools, and this lady had often gone to the Lord's Supper. But her faith was not connecting very well with her. What kind of Bible story do you think might help this panicky mother who thinks that God is punishing her for her past sins? Because she related to me that when she was a teenager, she had an abortion, and when she was a young lady, she got drunk and was in a car accident, and her best friend was killed. She was convinced that God was not coming after her. Got a story in mind yet? I told her the story of St. Paul. I said, St. Paul, before he was a Christian, he hated Jesus, and he hated Christians, and he was there ready to cheer on the people that were stoning these Christians to death. Yet God comes after him, forgives his sins, turns him around, and asks him to even become a missionary. God's grace, God's undeserved love is amazing. It's incredible. And it wants to work in her hearts and lives. At that point, her faith was starting to refresh itself, and yet it still wasn't quite where I wanted it to be. So I asked her another thing. I said, pick a number between 1 and 10. Go ahead, in your own mind, now pick a number between 1 and 10. I'll ask this gentleman here to tell me what he picked. 4, same as the other servants. But now try to forget it. We can't, but God can. And in the New Old Testament, God says, I will send your sins as far as the east is from the west, and remember them no more, or don't count them anymore. So this young lady had to recognize that God did not count those sins against her anymore. She had complete, free, full forgiveness by Christ's saving work. And strength and healing came to her faith to the point where you and her and I were then able to pray in friendship with God that he would bless her son's doctors and nurses and medicines and treatments, and he did. The son's blindness was checked, and the son and the lady, panicky mother, both went home with physical and spiritual healing. Simple Bible story is told. The Holy Spirit brought strength and guidance to that mother and child. Okay, another one. Gregory. Gregory was a newly confirmed young man, and he had finished his adult confirmation class. He was going to Bible study regularly in worship. He walked. He was kind of a... he just had problems in life. He lights a cigarette in his apartment. It blows up, and he's burned from head to foot. I could hardly look at the charred skin on his face. But I would look straight into the eyes, try to ignore everything else, and just continue talking about his Lord and Savior. About a month later, he was able to talk. And he tells me, "You know, Pastor, during those talks, I began to focus my attention on the cross of Jesus. And I began to think, well, there's a story for me. This Savior volunteered to suffer for me and then die for me so that I could have not only his forgiveness of sins, peace, but also a friendship where I could even talk to him in prayer." So Gregory told me the Bible story that time, how that Bible story of Christ's pain upon the cross helped him get through his pain. And then his faith so grew at that time that when he went home, Gregory worked with senior citizens who needed transport here and there, and they were often in pain. He said, "Now I'm going to tell them how Jesus helped me get through my pain and maybe be a blessing to them." That Bible story gave me comfort. It gave Gregory comfort and even strength in his direction. And of course, the Holy Spirit brought great comfort and healing and strength in that case. Kristen was a fourth grader. There was a vacancy at her church. She didn't have a pastor, but she was going to have brain surgery, and she finally did have the brain surgery, but she would be in the hospital for 4 or 5 months after that. And so I became her home pastor, and we had like a one-on-one vacation Bible school. And we decided to study the story of Noah and the Ark. And this is a great story for somebody that's in the hospital, because the big old ark, a hospital is like a big old ark. And Noah probably had animals running in and out of his room. A patient has people all coming in and out of their room. Noah had patience and courage because he knew of the promised Savior. So did Kristen. And of course, she needed patience for healing. Well, when Noah, after the bad storm, he had to wait almost a whole year and wait for the earth to heal. Kristen had to wait 3 or 4 months in the hospital and wait for her healing to take place. So eventually, Kristen and Noah sort of intertwined with each other the stories, and she found great strength and help and encourage and patience in that story. In fact, she even wanted to be like one of those little birds that flew away from the ark and never came back. But eventually the healing did take place, and Kristen's faith so grew through that Bible story. She said, "You know, when I go home," and she did go home eventually, she said, Noah made an altar to thank and praise God. "I'm not going to make an altar, but I'm going to become a Sunday school teacher assistant and praise God and thank him for getting me through this tremendous challenge of healing." So the whole story of Noah and the Ark became a kind of a focus and guide for her life as spiritual and physical healing took place. Adam was a teenage boy. He was dying of cancer. He was in the seventh grade. He was about halfway through confirmation class. And one day, he was quite a ways away from his church. And one day he grabbed my hand and said, "Pastor, I'm afraid to die." And so we talked quite a bit through that with the friendship that Jesus had won for us. And in that process, I said, "Adam, what's your favorite Bible story?" He said, "Samson." I thought, "Oh boy, how am I going to get a lesson out of that?" But it made sense. His cancer was just ripping all the strength out of his body. And he was becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. And finally, he did die in the hospital. But what grew strong was his faith and courage in the Lord. And when he did die, I was able to tell his parents, Adam was stronger than Samson. If you know the story of Samson, he had kind of a mixed up faith, confused faith. But Adam died with a very strong faith, hanging on to his Lord and going into eternal life with that confidence. He didn't get the physical healing, but the spiritual healing was complete. And that spiritual healing flowed over to his family, the story of Samson and Adam being stronger than Samson. Suppose, most of us know of senior citizens that maybe have been active in their church life, helping out here and there and just working for the Lord in many different areas. And then they become senior citizens and things kind of go wrong in their life. Maybe it's finances, maybe it's health, maybe it's family problems. And sometimes senior citizens, where I'm getting there myself, we think that, I'm done, I'm going to retire, things should go smooth in my life, I've served the Lord all my life. Well, what person in the Bible who served his Lord all his life and then in his senior years, when he was in the 80s, things just went haywire? Daniel. Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den, he was about 85 years old. He had been taken as a young lad to a foreign land, and he was forced into serving the king, but he hangs on to his Lord, his saving God, and serves the Lord in great difficulty. And of course, he's sort of retired, and he gets thrown into the lion's den, thinking perhaps, well, this is how I'm going out. But Daniel continues to hang on to his Lord, not knowing where this was all going. God rescued him. The king was so impressed with Daniel hanging on to his Lord and interested in about Daniel's God that he sends out a message to his entire kingdom about Daniel's God. And so we find great strength and healing and comfort in the fact that even some of the great believers of the Old Testament in their senior years had a pretty rough time. But they hung to their Lord, and he had his finger on their history and got them where he wanted them to be and spread the good news, the seeds of the loving Lord God. How about a depressed person? Most of us know somebody who's down in the dumps or very depressed, either emotionally or even physically. And can you think of a depressed person in the Bible? A Bible story about a depressed person. How about Elijah? Elijah was a great prophet of God, a tremendous faith. He was that one that they had that prayer duel. They built the false prophets of Baal built an altar on one hill, and Elijah builds a sacrifice to God on his hill. The false prophets jump up and down all day and pray. Nothing happens. Elijah prays once and boom, God destroys that altar and sacrifice. And the people say, well, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. A tremendous miracle. But about a month later, Elijah is running for his life. There was an assassination squad sent after him. He runs out of the country. And he runs into the desert and sits under a tree. He's totally down in the dumps. What good is it? What good is having the miracles and talking about God? Doesn't seem to go anywhere. He was down in the dumps about his life on earth and about his living with his Lord. Just wanted to die and go to heaven. Well, God sends him an angel and says, here's some bread and water. Get up and go back to work. And so we see that even great people in the Bible, they also have gotten down in the dumps. And God needs to use us, perhaps, to remind them of his saving love, strength, and direction, no matter how bad things get in our life. So the Bible story of Elijah getting down in the dumps is a great story to tell somebody to encourage them that they're not the only one in their faith. There's great believers that have gotten down in the dumps too. Aaron was a third grader dying of cancer, and the hospital tried to give her all kinds of things to do, but she pushed them aside, and she had on her bed this big picture Bible story book. And when someone came into the room, staff or nurse or doctor or even me, myself, she would open up and read the next story to that person. Her mother told me after she died that she had read through that book 17 times. Not only did Aaron's faith have grow, but it certainly brought great comfort and strength to her life. One day I asked Aaron what her favorite Bible story was in that big book, and she says, "Well, I like the story where this woman sneaks up behind Jesus, touches his robe, and is healed." That's what Aaron wanted. She wanted to touch the hand of Jesus and be healed. It didn't happen here on this earth. Today she's holding the hand of Jesus, totally healed in the blessings of heaven. But her family was so impressed by these Bible stories that she was sharing with everybody, they decided to set up a memorial fund so they could buy picture Bible story books and then send them to our missionaries in the Caribbean so that more children could learn about the Savior Jesus. So this little girl, through her Bible stories, not only helped me, but helped her family, blessed herself, and also probably, who knows, who is learning more about the Savior Jesus through the books she has given. Bible stories are for healing. We need to think about how to do that. And perhaps we can start with a small child, a grandchild, or a grandma or something like that when they need strength and healing. Last one, I think we'll just think about a bad accident. Some bad accidents change a person's life totally. A car accident, maybe the person can no longer use one leg and they can no longer do their job. So their whole life is changed. Can you think of a Bible story where somebody's whole life was changed and yet God kept his promise, Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God knows how to work good for those who love him. How about Joshua? Joshua was sold as a slave when he was, 12 years old or so. And for the next 20 years, he's in that difficult position. He even winds up getting accused of rape and thrown in prison. He has no idea where God is taking his life. But he continues to hang on to his Lord. And finally, he winds up saving his family from starving to death. And when his brothers ask for forgiveness, he says, "Now I know what God had in mind." Sometimes we never get to that point. We never see that final point. We have to ask God in heaven what he had in mind for our life. But that Bible story shows us that no matter how bad things go in our life, we just hang on. God has his finger on our history and will get us where he wants to be. It'll be for our good and the blessing of others. A tremendous healing story for those who find difficulty in the changes in life by some kind of crazy thing that happens in their life. Bible stories, you know them. Don't keep them to yourself. They are a way to spread the seeds of God's saving love. And don't worry about all the details. Just do the best you can, because the Holy Spirit knows how to take that story of sin and God's forgiveness and work healing in people's lives. Know the stories and share them to the praise of our God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.